Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
And I'm Patrick Barrett, back again.
So Judy's off this week, so we've got Patrick. Patrick is the official designated hitter.
I'm the batter up, Judy.
That's right, that's right. So before rambling on about other things, I thought at least make note of the fact that the Cambridge City Council, which has exactly, technically, three people they get to directly hire.
Yep.
City manager, city auditor, and city clerk. So yesterday, they have four finalists for the position. They chose Anthony Ivan Wilson, who currently is the city clerk of the city of Springfield, Massachusetts, as the next city clerk for the city of Cambridge.
All right, all right.
So,
can only succeed Donna Lopez, can never actually replace her.
Right, and it has been my long understanding that Donna Lopez, who is a deputy city clerk for ages and ages and ages before being elevated to city clerk, actually was the person who was training her two predecessors as city clerk, and I'm sure will be playing at least some role in training her successor as well.
I can't say enough about how much I love Donna Lopez, but you know, if you ever spend any time at city council or at city hall and you watch a meeting go by, there's not really an agenda item that goes past where a councilor is not like whispering over to Donna.
Donna, is this okay? Can I say this now? Right. What's the procedure? Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
that is a 24-hour job for her.
Yeah, and actually, those of us who follow city council business, you know, we see that role of the city clerk. But the thing is, there's also the city clerk's office, which is, you know, they keep of all the vital records. They officiate weddings.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to a few weddings that were officiated by Donna Lopez.
Well, Donna Lopez. We also get a shout out to Paula Crane, too.
But, yeah, you know, that's right. That's right. Our interim city clerk.
Those two ladies keep
They've
this
been
place
great.
Running.
They've really been great. You know, the unsung heroes of City of Cambridge. Absolutely true. Absolutely. So, Patrick, since you were last on the program,
mm-hmm.
I believe there was a little bit of business that took place on June 10th at the Cambridge City Council.
There was a little bit of business.
Having to do with our little piece of the world, our little piece of paradise here in Central Square.
The center of the known universe, Central Square. We passed what is called a business improvement district. And for those of you at home who don't know what a BID is, a BID allows us basically to tax property owners who voluntarily offered to be taxed to add additional services to Central Square, including cleaning up trash, cleaning up, you know, sort of more mundane things like graffiti removal, that kind of stuff, things that supplement what the city does. It also gives us the ability to hire 12 ambassadors who are going to walk up and down the street and, you know, just keep things orderly and clean and give wayfinding information and let you know that there's an awesome hotel you need to go check out and maybe December of this year, I hope.
That's a paid ad. Right.
But it gives us a whole new level of you know, ability to also even host events and to program and to do things that we've never had the funding to do. And it's really quite an amazing tool for the property owners and the board, which will be assembled shortly, which will be comprised of property owners, business owners, residents, you know, the people who have a stake in Central Square.
I always like the term stakeholder.
Yeah.
Is it actually holding a stake? No, or actually a stake?
I don't think you've ever seen a city council meeting where a bunch of property owners showed up and were excited about being taxed.
Right.
So I think it was really a great thing. It brings up a point that I've been just absolutely stewing on. A city councilor had asked the question that some people have asked, well, can't the city do more? Shouldn't the city be stepping up and doing these things?
So why do you need to do this? Shouldn't the city just be doing this all?
That's what he said.
And this is Councilor Zondervan.
Quentin Zondervan. I am talking directly to you right now. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. The city should be doing more. But not Louie, not Owen, not Kathy Watkins, not John Nardone, not Donna Lopez, not Robert Winters, not Patrick Barrett, but the city council.
Yes.
You guys have done jack nothing for Central Square for 40 years as a legislative body. The biggest gift that you guys have given us is the expansion of the Salvation Army beds, which is a good thing. However, sidewalks, trash cans, lights, flowers, anything that's positive in Central Square right now did not come from you or your legislative body. It came from the hard work of people who are consistently thrown under the bus. Owner Reardon is one of the nicest, most humble people I know.
He's the Commissioner of Public Works.
And the shellacking that that man gets sometimes, I just want to give him the baseball bat. I keep him in my truck and say, have at it. Because that man works hard. He cares. They all do. And it's just somewhat shocking to me to hear a counselor speak that way when the city has been the biggest participant in putting the bid together than anybody else.
Yeah.
Louis had, DePasquale has been a leader in this process, as have all the property owners, and a colossal, mega, triple, on top of the world shout out to Michael Monestime, who made this all a reality. But the council has done a very good job of sitting down, listening to us. They've done a very good job of passing the things that we brought to them, but they don't initiate any of this. We basically bring these things on a silver platter to the point where, you know, you have to say yes. But where are the ideas from the council? You know, we've had CDD study ad nauseum Central Square for years. Robert and I did time on the C2 board, which still, 6 years from 6 years ago, its final report still sitting, doing nothing. Pass it! Right. You know, do or don't pass it. Bring a new... reinvigorate the study. Have it brought back to the table. At least vote it up or down. But for the council to say, a councilor, specifically Quentin, to say, shouldn't the city do more? Yep. And it starts with you, buddy.
Yeah. You know, it's true that I think going back into the, probably even in the 1970s, there's study after study after study of Central Square. Most of those probably were initiated by a council order somewhere.
Yeah.
So the council's role, I think, has, over the many years, has been to say, we should think about Central Square.
Oh, yeah, and I'm not letting other councilors off the hook. There's been a continuum of apathy.
Right.
You know, Denise Simmons, to her credit, has tried to bring back the non-zoning portions of the C2 study, which encompass everything from placemaking to art to our cultural district, which has been unfunded since we established it 7 years ago, to looking at the Green Street Garage, looking at the library. All the things that everyone and their mother and their sister, no matter where they live on this planet, know about Central Square to be an issue. So it's just, I'm a little annoyed if you can tell. it's baffling to me, you know, because the problems are very easily identifiable. The problems are very easily fixed. If you have the gumption, if you have the elbow grease, and the desire to get it done. The problem is, and as I've seen multiple times, is it's never good enough. It's never 100% of what they want. Our counselor doesn't 100% conform to their ideals. You know, it was, you know, the big hullabaloo with C2 was, we all remember crush hour, traffic was going to be a nightmare, it was going to be a hellscape.
The Manhattanization. You know,
dogs and cats were going to get married, it was going to be terrible. Yeah. But height for buildings. We were saying 14 to 16 stories was like a reasonable height for residential buildings only.
Right.
And that was the end of all things. I remember a certain professor showing up and saying, well, I like to read in the park, and you know, the shade of a 19-story building is going to make it so my lantern won't, you know, the oil will run out faster. I won't be able to, you know, harvest enough whale oil to fuel those lamps. Yeah. Nonsense crap that was just like a buffet. The council ate that up. But yeah, you guys can do a lot more, and I look forward to you doing a lot more, maybe. Right. But you know, Quentin, just like other counselors too, I think the data is there. And if you're really, you know, it's interesting because on Twitter right now there's a great little feed about different parcels in the city. I think it's called Every Parcel or something like that. You know, the data is so easily accessible that everyone can figure out what things are in the square. We don't have to have a team or a bunch of consultants to figure out where we are, what the dimensions are. We also have reams and reams of paper studies from the CDD over the past couple of decades that all we really need to do is go down to CDD, take the information, and pass it. Just saying.
Well, you know, one thing completely independent of the bid, and to some degree, except for one vote, independent of the city council, was the development of the Mass and Main building, which is right across the street from us.
So massive in Maine, they
massive
call it.
In Maine, right? So it'll be interesting to see whether whether the sky opens and hellfire rains down upon us when people actually start living in there. I somehow feel that people will simply start living in there.
Was it the people that brought the hellfire, or was the building itself sort of reminds me of like Ghostbusters? It was made by this evil, demonic person who who knows? But like, I see a tall building next to me. And I know that there's going to be 600 new people living in that building.
Right.
And that's exciting. And it's exciting not just for evil, terrible property owners who, at night I go home and swim in a bath of evil and rub money all over my body just to get the good off. But for the businesses that are up and down the square that are suffering, that have, dealt with a new economy of e-commerce and, with Amazon right around the corner, basically taking retail out of commission, this breathes new life. It puts bodies in the square. One of the things we learned at C2, 30% of the people who live above a thing will use the thing down below.
Right.
So if we have single-story buildings, zero times zero, I'm not a mathematician.
I am.
Great.
And it amounts to nothing. Yeah. So it will be interesting to see. I don't know when the opening date for Mass and Main is really scheduled. I know some of the other odd buildings around the bend on Columbia and over on Bishop Allen. I think the ones on Bishop Allen are already being leased.
So the one on Bishop Allen, Union House, is fully leased. 24 units. The one on Columbia is going to have a ribbon cutting in August, at the end of August.
Exciting.
The main tower, the main base of the tower, is going to come online at the end of this year.
Right.
And then the tower fully comes online in spring/summer of 2020, which is contractor speak for maybe,
right. But one of the things that I think a lot of us came to believe, and I think it's true, was that the zoning, the sort of small area zoning that basically allowed Mass and Main development to happen, was in many respects kind of almost like a booby prize for the lack of the city council acting aggressively on the recommendations from the
Q2C. The timeline was kind of remarkable, right? We spent from, I think it was 2008, 10, with the Red Ribbon Commission, then going to the C2 up into 2013, having all this robust planning. All could be discovered at CDDE's website. With a plan for Central Square, and then we had an election, four councilors got changed hands, and everyone sort of ran for the hills. So it wasn't voted on, and then the Fennell family owned 17 parcels in the square, one of the largest transfer of real estate to happen to the square in probably 100 years or more,
right.
Opened this huge opportunity for redevelopment. And if you can remember, the previous structure that was there where Mass and Main now stands was a single-story structure that had nice, really super creepy stained glass windows, which terrified children.
Actually, those stained glass windows, when they were having a public meeting about that, somebody says, "Well, what's going to happen to those stained glass windows?" And I actually made a comment about them. I said that those stained glass windows that depicted retail operations in stained glass were put into a bio lab building, which actually used to have actual retail. So many of us weren't particularly thrilled by the replacement of retail with pictures of retail. though they were nice stained glass, I wouldn't have minded getting one. But
my only recommendation, get an old Prius and a young Prius and sort of exercise that a bit. But the idea of hanging imitation life art on a window.
That's
a practice, right now down at 624 Main Street. They hung a tarp over an existing building and they painted lights on it to make it look like it was active.
A fake building, yeah.
That's weird. Yeah. But
One thing just to look forward to as these buildings come online and people actually start populating the buildings and I assume they actually will become some of the best customers at various places in Central Square.
Maybe they have friends who want to stay in a hotel.
Maybe so. People may actually come to me and say, "Hey, listen, the sky didn't fall. Mm-hmm. Somehow this is okay." And maybe the fact that a little height and density in a place like Central Square is not such a bad thing. It certainly doesn't threaten people elsewhere in the city.
When the elevator shaft was
built, and it makes the square work better.
When the elevator shaft was being built,
for Mass and Main.
Councilors came down, and because I'm always here, I'd run into them, and they'd be looking at the building and saying, "It's actually not as tall as I thought it would be." And we at the time it seemed like a 19-story building was like an impossible thing to comprehend, even though we have an 18-story building down the street and a 14-story and a 16-story building. So, height's not too difficult to imagine in Central Square. Yeah. The studies that you've had from Central Square that go back to 87 to present day all say the same thing. We need more housing. We need more bodies on the street. Right. And it's not, people cry gentrification like they actually know what the word means when they don't. They just know it's an active thing that triggers people into some sort of social justice psychosis that they say, well, you're going to get rid of all the people. Well, there's no one who lives here. So who are you getting rid of? Right. You can talk about the neighborhoods, expanding values, but when you're selling a house down the street on Pearl Street for $1,000 a square foot, I think the ship has left the dock.
Right.
So, it's this reality check with the council. I think one of the reasons why I wanted to come see you today was it's really getting more and more frustrating when I hear these sort of nonsense bullet points that, it's a war of, it's really a war against the truth. And, these people who will be moving to these buildings are going to be either young professionals, they might be some older, they might be some younger, but they're looking for new housing, they're looking for new, specifically. And instead of going into the neighborhoods and buying your house for $2 million, knocking it down, and building a bigger house for four, they're going to stay in this building. They're going to go in the tower.
And I'll throw in one other thing, too, which not enough people talk about, but it's one of the things I certainly tried to mention, again, to deaf ears, on the Envision Cambridge and in the Envision Cambridge Housing Working Group, which is that housing you build today in 20 years will, you can call it luxury, you can call it whatever the hell you want, but in 20 years it's just going to be a building that happens to have apartments in it.
As is and, every other building that was built in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, so the thing is that you sort of have to get the units there, so people can, move around and whatever. And
I hate to go on a tangent, but when we're talking about the housing overlay, and people talk about how they want everyone I talk to who's lived in Cambridge for a long time has this sense that there's something changed about Cambridge, that there was a time when things were really awesome, and today totally sucks, and it's confusing to me as someone who's been here for only 15 years, what the hell they're talking about. I think, my wife and I moved here in Central Square specifically because we love change. We love to see the growing, the different stores, or different restaurants, or different just confluence of ideas that just keep popping up that is not possible in Lexington or my hometown of Marblehead, no offense, but you're terrible. but it's confusing to me what people thought. Like if you live in between Harvard, it's not like Harvard and MIT are probably as close to they were the fountain. They were here. They've been here for a long time, longer than any of us. And to think that you're living between these two innovation hubs and that the world would stay exactly the same, miscalculated.
My sense has always been that the best time of any city was basically when, A, you were either in your 20s and having a fun time, or when you met your girlfriend or something, became your wife, right? Right? And that must have been the greatest time of all. I mean, it's amazing how many people would look back fondly to the Ozzie and Harriet days of the 50s, but then forget it was also the time of McCarthyism.
But my wife and I are the new Ozzie and Harriet. We live in the city. We go out to dinner with our kids in these little bougie places. People look at us like we landed from Mars. But I think, 20 and 30-year-olds need to see a 40-year-old dad every once in a while because, That's how they got here.
Yeah, I think people need to stop trying to make Cambridge great again. If people just try and actually come up with good ideas for what Cambridge can and could be, and Central Square in particular, what it can and could be, I think we'd go a lot further than just simply trying to dwell on what it once was or what you think it once was.
Which I think to circle back to...
Even if what it once was had some really great features.
To circle back to our bid discussion and why this is going to be such a great thing, it's... the perception. Right now, in the past 3 years, we've done more, the Central Square Business Association, George Metzger, and Michael Mondesteam, than has been done by the council or any legislative body in the past 50 years. We rezoned it lightly. I believe we actually could go a lot further, and we should, and hopefully we will, but we've cracked the ice, and now old guys who've been here for a million years, multi-generational people who absolutely hate the city, hate the council, would never build a goddamn thing in the city, are now talking to us going, guys, I want to build residential.
There you go.
I want to build an art studio. I want to build artist lofts. I want to do more things. I see it now. I feel it. There's a vision. There's a vibe. And we've got momentum. And that, to me, is like, it's better than zoning. It's better than a bid. People are believing that Central Square can be more than just the perception of this place that was once great that now is never has a chance to be.
You know, there's... It's one thing to feel badly about the inaction of Cambridge City Councillors over the years, but on the other hand, there's a different point of view, which basically says that to whatever degree the government can get a little bit out of the way,
oh yeah,
and then just let the people who have good ideas and interests and some money to actually do good things and just make sure that they're, that it's possible to do good things.
Now, I'm not saying I want a restraining order, but I actually am. I think the council... When they intervene in Central Square, nothing gets done. And I invite them all, actually, to change that narrative. Because they'll all say, well, I voted for restoration petition. I voted for the bid. But the legwork for all of that was done by Michael Modestine and George Metzger.
All right, so let me ask you one thing that might be helped by council action, or maybe it can be done independently. There was discussion this past year, I guess it was this past year or earlier this year, about... Central Square is sort of an arts district, right? And there was some suggestions that
a lot of melon.
Yep, that's right. And they created a task force, and it was suggested that maybe actually some either changes in zoning or whatever might actually spur some things to allow some active artist work within the square, which is economically difficult right now.
Yep.
Are there any possible ways to sort of make some of that real?
So I think that the bid provides a funding mechanism. I know the bid provides a funding mechanism. We now can do things like events, give licenses to people who need to get licenses to do performances. We can hold performances of our own. The zoning piece of it, you know, this is something that I actually said when they began this sort of exploration of an artist overlay. Well, zoning doesn't solve all your problems. However, I think if you're trying to guide development, right now we have enough FAR, enough real tools in the toolbox to build some residential a little bit and to bolster some existing retail spaces. We do not right now have enough to say, okay, that single story building where there's a liquor store and a Chipotle and empty nothing, that's also five, you can reach out the window and touch the T-stop. That building should be 18 stories tomorrow, but, big but, you have to put XYZ on the ground floor. That's absolutely doable. But you're not going to get no one's going to jump on that without the additional height.
So let's make that a challenge to the Cambridge City Council sometime within the next 6 months. Initiate a process to make such things possible.
Yeah.
That's my challenge right there. I think that right now, one of the things when I commented at the night of the bid, you know, the thing is that what you have here is sort of some of the intangible stuff, which is that once you actually can get, was it 80% of property owners or something? And I think that there were two measures for the bid.
So there's the valuation.
The assessed valuation.
And then there's the land mass. So those numbers are both lower than 80%. But we got 83% of both those numbers for the bid.
Right. Now, that's an extraordinarily high percentage.
And I mean, some of that, people talk about belief. Some people were reticent to sign on to it. But when they saw how motivated Michael was, how he was getting it done, and how the city was behind us, how Louis was behind us, then, you know, they started to cave. And once we actually had, I think it was like 70%, we went and filed it. And then a week later, they all came running. Oh, please let me sign. Please let me sign.
Yeah. So it's my belief that if you actually have just whatever little tweak in the zoning it might take to actually make things a little more, you know, grease the wheels a little bit to make things happen more, this sort of belief, this shared belief that I think a lot of property owners have now that there could be something better, might lead to some property owners saying, listen, in my property, I want to do this and that, but I think I can also accommodate these desirable things. So if everybody's sort of having a shared future here, these things become possible.
And 83%, they're into it. They feel it. And I think if nothing else, like, you have that metric to look on, and that pool of people who now have a vested interest in the success of Central Square, willing to make these changes. Imagine you're a multi-generational property owner. You've been getting a check for 18 billion years. You live on an island. You've got you're surrounded by margaritas. Why the hell do you care about building four more stories on your building? It's risk. It's potential loss. You need to do something to crack that. And it's not the Connolly method of, you know, taking it all and redistribute it. It's change the perception.
Right.
Do the hard work. Add some zoning regulations that make sense, that's not just a total gimme, but also something that incentivizes the growth that is needed here. It's not, buildings are not evil. The people who inside them, maybe, but the buildings themselves are not. And you need good design guidelines, you need an active group of people willing to take that task on, like the Central Square Advisory Board. You can get it done. I think in Central Square, I'm not a terribly emotional human being, but like, I was getting a little worked up at City Hall when, you know, we were passing this piece of legislation that we've tried two previous times to do. It was great. And I wanted to tell each one of the city councils to go to hell, and I did not, because Michael told me
not to. But you also should keep in mind that many of the city councilors who are sitting in the seats today were not the ones who've been sitting there for the last 20, 30 years when things were thoroughly enacted.
I'm going to talk a lot of crap, but I do like the council individuals. They're very nice people for the most part, except for Quentin. Just kidding. But that comment really just set me off. I've been thinking about it for a little bit now, and just, you know, yeah, you could do a lot more.
Well, I mean, there is a kind of a political philosophy that some people have, which is that we'll just raise more tax dollars directly from the people of the city and just raise it to the sky's the limit, and then just fund every imaginable city service, provide.
But what happens in Central Square with that? All the development that we've had, all the money that's been put into funds that's supposed to go back to this community, it never stays here. It always goes away.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're using the same tool, right? We're adding a tax.
Right.
Volunteer tax.
Yeah. So anyway, so now you have a little bit of authority and a little bit of money, so maybe some really, really good things can happen.
I think so.
Right? So, you know, we all, you know, cross your fingers, hand over heart, you know, wish for the best, and, you know, and I think things are going to be looking up.
I know things are. And it's not just the bid, there's a lot of interest in Central Square that's never really been there.
Right. Anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes to talk about some other things on Cambridge Inside Out.